This is Louise. I'm 14 years old and I live in Pittsburgh.
This is Joshua and I am 7 years old.
This is Jeffrey. I'm 18 years old and live in Lawrenceville.
This is Felix. I'm 14 years old and I live in Allegheny Commons. And this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for the Kidsburg Podcast. We are excited for you to join us for today's episode, where we'll share inspirational interviews for you and your family to enjoy. You'll also hear some honest answers to questions we've asked teenagers from the Pittsburgh area. I'm Kidsburg producer and KDKA anchor Christine Sorensen, and I'm here with my partners on the Kidsburg team.
Hi, everybody. I'm Melissa Rayworth. I'm the editor at Kidsburg, and I'm so glad we can share today's interview with the chef and owners of the popular Italian restaurant Dianoia's. They'll share fun ways to get kids and maybe adults to try new foods and how to eat healthy as a family.
And I'm Kidsburg's director, Yuling Chang. I learn something new every time we get together. As our regular listeners know, we start every episode with a Pittsburgh gem, someplace that's very cool but maybe not top of mind for people to visit as a family adventure. Today, we're headed to the Strip District. Christine, tell us why this is your favorite gem.
This is one of my favorite places, especially when my kids were toddlers, elementary school, before Saturdays got too busy. We would go every weekend and take the kids with us, and it was like you stepped into another world. So it's called the Strip because it is a narrow strip of land between the Allegheny River and the Hill District. And it's just local, authentic flavors of Pittsburgh. So it is a foodie heaven. There are all kinds of incredible restaurants, markets, shops, stands outside the shops, smells. It's like senses galore. So I know one of the big favorite things for kids, of course, is Grandpa Joe's candy. But I think what's really fun is also teaching them about different cultures. And one of those ways is through the different grocers. So I know you guys have both spent time in some of the groceries down there.
Absolutely. The Lotus Asian Market became an absolute favorite of my family. Both times we moved back from Asia, when we moved home from China and from Thailand, we wanted to be able to grocery shop like we grocery shopped when we lived in those countries. And so it was such a gift to have this incredible place in the Strip where we could pretty much get, you know, my favorite tea and my kids' favorite brand of dumplings and all the different things that we were used to in our grocery stores in other countries.
And my favorite place to go to is Reina. It's a Mexican grocery store. They have everything you could possibly need. And I'm not good at making Mexican food, so I love going there because they'll guide me. They'll be like, oh, you need this, or you might want to consider this. Oh, you want to try something a little bit new? Then try this spice. But you can also watch them make the tortillas in person, watch them spread it out and get it hot off the press. It's so good.
There's a Mediterranean grocery, Polish grocery, Middle Eastern. I mean, there's so many great places to go. So I just want to point out a couple of my favorite things. The pierogi ladies. They're usually sitting outside St. Stanislaus Church selling homemade pierogies. I love Mon Ami chocolate. Who doesn't love that? I love tasting the different cheeses at Penmac, things I've never even heard of or seen before. The bread at Mancini's. And then my kids and I always love seeing the fish and lobsters alive in their aquariums at Woolies.
Woolies is definitely another major favorite for my family. I mean, sometimes we've gone down there not even really sure what it is we want to make for dinner, but we figure we'll just discover. And then, of course, we end up having a meal while we're there because you can get an incredible fish sandwich or something like that, lobster roll, and they do have that little seating area.
I just want to add, the culture of the Strip District is so friendly. Like, they want you to come in. They want you to try things.
The vibe
things.
Is nice.
Yeah, they want you to ask questions, and they love having kids there. So I always feel good about taking my kids there.
At kidsburg.org, you can learn more about one-day adventures like the Strip District for you and your kids to explore. To learn more, look for the links at kidsburg.org/podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg. You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Food has always been the centerpiece of bringing people together. And at home, family meals are important, both for nutrition and quality time together. Today, we're excited to have the chef and owners of Dianoia's Eatery in Pittsburgh join us, Dave and Amy. The moment you walk into this restaurant, you feel like you've been invited into someone's home with fresh-made pasta and delicious Italian classics. Dianoia's has won all kinds of awards, including Pittsburgh Magazine's top restaurant for many years. And Dave and Amy are also parents to 3.5-year-old daughter Florence, and they're here to share their insights on cooking for the whole family. Dave and Amy, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for having us today.
So Dave, I want to hear a little bit more about you and what inspired you to become a chef. What was your journey like? And for maybe kids who are listening in to today's podcast and want to become a chef, what advice do you have for them?
My parents both cooked growing up. My dad, being Italian, always cooked on Sundays, and it was always fun to get into the kitchen with him on Sundays and make a kind of a full Italian meal for the family. And we all ate together, tried to every day, but it had to be, you know, every Sunday we were all there. I didn't know what I wanted to do in high school, but I knew that I liked to cook. The next step after high school, I decided to go to culinary school, and that was in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, at Pennsylvania College of Technology. I got a 2-year degree there and then moved out to San Diego, California, where I stumbled upon one of the better restaurants in 2003 at that time. It was called Arterra. Got a ton of excellent training from a couple great chefs out there. One is now back in Pittsburgh and owns Local Provisions, Brian Pekarsik, and the other one's still in San Diego. But that's really kind of where I cut my teeth in the profession, and then moved back to Pennsylvania in 2007 and eventually Pittsburgh that same year. Our passion was really Italian food and bringing the whole experience to the guests, not only the food. So that's where Dianoia's kind of came about. The advice I'd give young kids that are wanting to be chefs, go work in the profession in high school, you know, and see if you like it. It's a profession you don't have to go to college for. If you're in high school, you like cooking, you can always just work your way up and get in the profession that way. Getting tutelage under good chefs at reliable, good restaurants is kind of just as good as going to college at that point.
And Amy, what was it like on your end coming from a different profession and then working with your husband to make this happen?
I went from an arts and marketing background, so completely different from the restaurant industry, but I always loved food. And that was one of the things that Dave and I bonded over, especially our mutual love for Italian food. And, you know, we traveled to Italy a few times while we were dating, and then we went for our honeymoon. And I think we were really inspired when we went on those travels to bring something like that back to Pittsburgh. And so I think we kind of both inspired each other and figured, hey, let's do this.
And when you walk into your restaurant, you feel all that inspiration and love. It's so wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's what we were going for.
What was it like to take an idea, concept, and make this dream into a reality and to do it together?
I've been a chef my whole professional career. So in that aspect, it was what I went to school for and, you know, what I trained to do. But when we met in 2013, we got married in 15 and then decided we both come from big Italian families and our passion is really Italian food. So we decided at that point to open a restaurant, and pretty much a year later to when we got married, we opened Dianoia's Eatery in November of 16.
Very nice. All right. So you have so many wonderful dishes, but Dianoia's is often famous for the meatballs. So Amy, tell us the story behind the meatballs.
You know, my mom would make meatballs at home and we would have them, you know, at least probably a couple times a week. But it's a pretty cool story, I guess. My grandfather on my mother's side, Grandpa Eddie, he was in service and he was about to be shipped out to go overseas and fight. And I guess, you know, a day or so before he was supposed to go, he asked, you know, his commanders if he could cook them dinner. So, you know, he went in the kitchen and cooked them his mother's recipe of spaghetti and meatballs. And story says that they said, never mind, you're not going. We're going to keep you back here and you're going to be the chef on base. And that's what he did when he was in service. So they made kind of a lasting impression, obviously changed his life. And that recipe was then passed down to my mom. And then when Dave and I were dating, my mom came to visit us and taught Dave the recipe, although conveniently left out an ingredient that we figured out later. But she gladly shared the recipe with him, and that's the recipe that we use over at Dianoia's now, and it seems to keep going.
I love that this recipe has so many generational ties to it, and they are delicious. So we kind of want to turn the conversation to family. And for our listeners, many of us as parents wonder how to get our kids more involved in cooking. It might be something simple like getting our kids to try something new, or maybe a deeper topic like helping our kids understand the importance of fresh food or where your food comes from. Any tips for us, for our families?
You know, at least with our daughter, we noticed that if she helps in the making of the food, no matter what it is, she's more likely to try it. She just started eating ground beef, and we made some homemade tacos with her. And if I made the tacos and put them on the table, I don't think she would have tried them, but she went through the whole process of making the ground beef, cooking the ground beef, and cutting the lettuce and the cheese and everything. And then we put the tacos together with her, and then she ate an entire taco the first time she had ground beef. So I think the whole process and getting the kids involved in that is a big win if you can. And I think they'll try things more. They want to be a part of that process and then the end product, as opposed to just the end product.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. I think about that when somebody puts something in front of me and I have no idea what it is and I've never had it, I would be kind of skeptical too. But if you involve me in the process, Of course I'm going to try it.
Well, yeah, I think you have to think about food from their perspective, right? We've been around all these foods forever and, you know, we look at a bell pepper and we just think, okay, bell pepper. But for them, it's such a foreign concept and a foreign idea. So I actually found that with Florence, talking about color or texture or things that are really fun for them helps them get excited about food. So we obviously always want our kids to eat tons of vegetables. And one of the things that we got, you know, to get Florence interested is we talked about kind of the basics of how the colors of food help our bodies, you know, so red foods make your heart beat really strong, or orange foods can help you see in the dark, or things from a kid's perspective that gets them excited and interested and gets them talking about the food. And they're more likely to try it that way. You know, one of her favorite foods happens to be bell peppers now. And it's because she likes to talk about the colors of them, or she talks about how crunchy they are. You know, when she takes a bite, can it be so crunchy that everybody hears it at the table? Stuff like that. So just trying to think of it through a kid's lens. And, you know, when we're all sitting down at the table, we can talk about that together, as opposed to putting a food in front of them and just letting them eat it without any context or any information. I think that's hard.
And, you know, sometimes it can be a little overwhelming as a parent. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, it never stops. All the food, the meal planning, sometimes it can get complicated. Do you have any advice on kind of how to make the meal planning, I don't know, easier or more fun?
I think trying to find meals that kind of build on each other. So one of the things that we make at home a lot is Dave will roast a whole chicken and we'll get multiple meals out of that one chicken, right? So that night we'll have it for dinner and, you know, we'll have our vegetables and other things with it. But then we'll make a soup from the chicken stock that's from it. Or the next day we can just cut up little pieces of chicken to go with Florence's lunch or stuff like that. So trying to think of ingredients that don't take a ton of time each day. You know, maybe it'll take you an hour or so the first day when you prep it. And then you can kind of eat it for the next 3 days in different ways. And that's also great to introduce kids to the same food, but in different ways. You know, Florence yesterday, after we had made a chicken the other day, we were making a soup yesterday, and she saw me in the kitchen doing it and said, "Hey, can I have a glass of the chicken broth?" I was like, "Absolutely, you can have a glass of chicken broth," you know? So while we were standing there in the kitchen and I was making the soup, she took a couple of sips of the chicken broth out of a glass while we were hanging out in the kitchen. So just trying to think of different ways to show them that the same food can be prepared in different ways and you can have it all sorts of different ways and it all tastes different. But then that also helps a little bit on simplicity wise, you know, one chicken can get you say three meals or something like that.
We have a little garden at the house and we grow seasonal vegetables in the summer. So tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, all the herbs. And that can also help in that aspect. That kind of starts the process as opposed to even, you know, buying the stuff at the store. So they're seeing another layer of how food is grown and then is put on the table, you know, from plant to dish as opposed to, you know, just going to the store and getting it. So if you have room and can grow a couple tomato plants, you can get, you know, enough tomato plants to make your tomato sauce. And then you have that upfront work. But as soon as you make the sauce, then you have it either frozen or canned and you can have it all winter. So then you're just pulling a can and, you know, make a pound of pasta. You know, you're just making that one item as opposed to, you know, the sauce, the pasta, a vegetable. You can literally just pick it right at home. And that was the best part of summer is, you know, picking the cucumbers. And that was Florence's vegetable for that night, making tomato sauce out of the tomatoes. And then it was easy to have for the whole week, or you could have it if you can it for the whole winter season. So there's another kind of layer of that answer.
I love that. And you know, how easy is that, right? Just go into your own backyard or back deck and pick some fresh vegetables and use it for that meal. So many lessons to learn from that. So nutritious meals are essential for kids and families. But there are also other benefits from sitting down together for a meal. And I've heard both of you speak so much about your family. So what benefits have you seen from sharing a meal together as a family?
I think it's more fun for everybody. When we're able to sit down with Florence, you know, she always asks who's going to sit next to her at the table. She's excited, you know, even if it's just mom and dad for dinner, she wants to know who's going to sit next to her. And, you know, she wants to be part of what mom and dad are doing or part of what the grownups are doing. And, you know, I think at Dianoia's at the restaurant, we love when full families come in. You know, a lot of people sometimes are like, oh, you know, I don't want to bring my kids out to a restaurant, or, you know, what if they misbehave, or what about this, or what about that? But at Dianoia's, like, we love when families come in together. That's the whole thing. So, you know, when people can share dishes amongst their family, you get to all try different stuff. And, you know, that's where our family style food really comes into play. That's exactly what it is. It's family style.
And I think there's something more going on when you're breaking bread together, the communion of sharing a meal, a different kind of connection that happens when you're eating together.
Absolutely. You know, I think it builds a lot of, you know, character in the kids and the kids that are at the table. You know, as they grow up, they have that kind of values instilled in them of family and friendship, you know, moving forward at a younger age. And growing up, we always had the adult table and the kids table. And that's kind of, when you're younger, that's fun. And if everybody was sitting around the adults table at Easter or Christmas and you're 3 or 4 years old, it might not be as exciting as opposed to, you know, having two tables right next to each other, one adults, one kids. And, you know, you're at the kids table. And then once you become 15, 16 or whatever that age may be, you get to transition and graduate into the grown-up table.
Well, and having three teenagers myself, I know it's one of the only times we can all sit down, have a conversation, reconnect. And I honestly look forward to more than just about anything is sitting together, whether it's at home or at a wonderful restaurant like Dianoia's.
Oh, well, thank you.
Amy and Dave, this has been really wonderful. Thanks for telling us about your journey and opening a restaurant together, what it takes to be a chef, all these great tips on meal planning and trying new foods. I love the color idea. I'm definitely going to use that in the future. And the importance of just sharing mealtime together as a family. Thanks for being on the Kids Brew podcast.
Thank you for having
us. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
That was a fantastic interview, you guys. I love that they talked about eating the rainbow, about making sure that every color imaginable is sort of represented on your plate, and that way you can really make sure you're getting really varied nutrition. I also love this idea of getting kids involved. I think it's so true that if your kids shop with you and they help prepare meals, they're going to be so much more engaged.
And I'm not a great cook, but I do like gardening. And so that's one way I love taking the kitchen outside with the kids and showing them that process and then tasting it, whether they like it or not. It's really fun to kind of explore and see what happens from a seed.
And I love that they talked about how important that family time is together over a meal, right? So you spend the time, whether it's gardening or you're going grocery shopping or making the meal together, but sitting down and enjoying that time together and just savoring what you put together and getting a chance to talk to each other.
And I think with three teenagers myself right now, I appreciate it now more than ever. And even going back to some of our previous interviews about all the use of technology, I think it nicely counteracts that time away from screens. No screens at the table. We're just going to talk and communicate and enjoy our food.
Yeah, it really makes a difference.
You can find a link to Dianoia's Eatery at kidsburg.org/podcast. And in a moment, we're going to hear real talk from local teens about what they do to take care of themselves and stay healthy.
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
What does your teen do to take care of themselves? Maybe it's physical exercise, a healthy diet, or something that gives them a mental break. The students at SLB Radio's Youth Media Center helped us out by asking other students this question. What kind of things do you do to take care of yourself?
What I do is I work out. Just try to stay in shape because at the end of the day, I think it's important to be able to look at yourself and be like, I agree with myself. I don't have any grand tips because I'm not that grand of a guy. And, you know, don't be rude, don't be mean, be kind of you.
I see the girls like talking about, all I do is drink water and this is the body I have. And I see like a lot of girls my age commenting like, oh, I'm gonna do this, blah, 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 blah. And I know like that's not healthy. And like there's like challenges. I don't understand how people don't see this as well. Like there's people who have fainted, who haven't eaten, and it's not healthy.
I wake up in the morning, I take a cold shower to like cover my body, brush my teeth, wash my face and all, do push-ups, read a little bit, write a little bit, and afterwards I'll go to school. Right after school I have another workout to go to.
I do really think it's this constant state of checking in, doing little actions throughout the day to make sure that I'm not overworked or overwhelmed by taking care of other people or taking care of my responsibilities, but I'm also focused on myself and what needs to happen in order for me to be all right at the end of the day.
This was such a great podcast episode, and we have got much more to come in the next episode. We'll be dropping 3 more new podcast episodes in the coming weeks, and you can also check out the episodes we already have out if you haven't heard them already.
Just go to kidsburg.org/podcast to find them all, and be sure to sign up for our free weekly Kidsburg newsletter to find news stories and online guides that help grownups with the big, beautiful job of parenting in the Pittsburgh region and beyond.
Thanks for joining us for the Kidsburg Podcast.
This is Lamel. I'm in the 8th grade, and this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
On the next Kidsburg Podcast, we'll talk with a mom who started a business with her kids. They host family trivia podcasts, and they're taking the show on the road. Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org to learn about the resources and advice from local experts that can help all kids have the best opportunity to thrive.